So, tonight we're starting what is going to be a run through what are called the pastoral epistles, which, strangely enough, are all starting with T, and they are at the end of the T's of Paul. And so it's 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy, and Titus, and the way they were actually done was Paul sent a message to Timothy, and then he sent a message to Titus, and then he sent a second message to Timothy. But that's not how we're going to do it. I'm just going to go 1 Timothy all the way through Titus, and we'll do it in that way. Tonight we're looking at the first chapter of 1 Timothy. It was written between 63 and 66 A.D. Paul, at the time, was in prison in Rome. Timothy was the son of a Greek father who was probably not a Christian, and a Jewish mother who was a very devout Christian. But, as we've said many times before, she at this time was what we today call a messianic Jewish person. She believed Jesus was the Messiah, but that we still should worship the way the Jews do. But she learned a lot from Paul, and so she dropped some of the requirements, you might say. Timothy was one of the closest associates of Paul. He went with him all over the place. You look at a lot of the epistles, and they begin from Paul and Timothy. And it's written by Paul, but Timothy was there with him. Now, at this point, he was...
So are you going to read the scripture?
Yes, we probably should read the scripture. You're right. I'm just doing my intro and forgot entirely. So, 1 Timothy. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the command of God, our Savior, and of Christ Jesus, our hope. To Timothy, my true son in the faith. Grace, mercy, and peace from God, the Father, and Christ Jesus our Lord. As I urged you when I went to Macedonia, remain in Ephesus, so that you may instruct certain people not to teach different doctrine, or to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. These promote empty speculations rather than God's plan, which operates by faith. Now the goal of our instruction is love, that comes from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith. Some have deviated from these and turned aside to fruitless discussion. They want to be teachers of the law, although they don't understand what they're saying or what they're insisting on. But we know that the law is good, provided one uses it legitimately. We know that the law is not meant for a righteous person, but for the lawless and the rebellious, for the ungodly and sinful, for the unholy and irreverent, for those who kill their fathers and mothers, for murderers, for the sexually immoral and homosexuals, for kidnappers, liars, perjurers, and whatever else is contrary to sound teaching, based on the glorious gospel of the blessed God which was entrusted to me. I give thanks to Christ Jesus our Lord, who has strengthened me because he considered me faithful, appointing me to this ministry. One who was formerly a blasphemer, a persecutor, and an arrogant man. But I received mercy because I acted out of ignorance in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord overflowed, along with the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. This saying is trustworthy and deserving of full acceptance. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, and I'm the worst of them. But I received mercy for this reason, so that in me, the worst of them, Christ Jesus might demonstrate his extraordinary patience as an example to those who would believe in him for eternal life. Now to the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen. Timothy, my son, I'm giving you this instruction in keeping with the prophecies previously made about you, so that by them you may strongly engage in battle, having faith and good conscience. Some have rejected these and have suffered the shipwreck of their faith. Hymenaeus and Alexander are among them, and I have delivered them to Satan, so they may be taught not to blaspheme. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we have your word to read and that we have Paul to teach us. And we just ask you to bless us and guide us and go with us in all we do. In Jesus' name, amen.
I told it to do 1 Timothy 1, and it apparently did 1 Timothy. The whole stupid thing.
Okay.
Just go ahead and keep going, honey.
Okay. So...
I thought I told it to do 1 Timothy 1.
As I said, this is one of the letters that Paul sent to his proteges to teach them how to run a church and what to teach and how to teach it. Some members of the Ephesian church were not following Paul's teaching. They were going off on a tangent various places. They were relying on Jewish and Greek fables to interpret God's plan. God's plan is actually based on faith. You read the word, you believe in it, and you follow it. This should lead to love. But it wasn't in Ephesus. It was leading to fighting, which even today we see. I have often said, I had a friend back in Groton, Connecticut, that everybody thought we hated each other because we had a disagreement over a very deep theological thing that if you ask either one of us, we would tell you is trivial. Didn't make any difference. We don't know. We know what we believe, but it didn't matter. Okay? These people were like the guy in the joke. There was a joke that was said. The guy wants to jump off a bridge and the pastor's trying to talk him out of it. And he says, you're very much like me. You're both Baptist. Okay. So what do you think about, millennium? Well, I'm premillennial. Well, so am I. See, we've got things in common. Well, what do you think about the rapture? Well, I'm kind of a mid-trip kind of guy. And the pastor knocks him off the bridge and says, die, you heretic. But, no, this was not a heretic. That's just not. But, that's the way these people were. They were arguing about things. It was not leading to love. In this case, however, it led to worthless discussion. On and on and on. Now, once again, we're in Ephesus. This is Greece. And they're Greeks. And they love to argue. And it says that when Paul got to Athens, that the people there spent all day long discussing anything new they could find. All they wanted to do, they referred to themselves as being philosophers. Philo meaning to love, sophos meaning knowledge, lovers of knowledge. They just want to know stuff. Didn't care that much about whether it was true or not. But they want to teach the law, but they don't understand the law. Some of them are Greeks. They don't understand what the Jewish law is about. Some of them are Jews. They don't understand what Jesus said about the law. That's why we had our question. What's it for? It's for people who need to learn to come close to God. It's God's standards that we're supposed to attempt. Paul says in many places, don't worry that you can't do it. Just go to God and ask Him for forgiveness. Hey, I've come up short. And he says, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Don't worry about this. Just go to God and ask forgiveness. Confess your sin. If it was inadvertent and you didn't know it, God will clean it up. If it was intentional, if you repent, God will forgive you for it. They're using the law inappropriately. They're beating on each other. The law is not for clobbering the righteous, but for correcting the unrighteous. It's to put up a standard where the righteous can say, I try as hard as I can to do that. I come as close as I can come to that. And the unrighteous say, whoa, I'm not doing very good. I better improve. Paul lists offenses from the Ten Commandments. It's very interesting when you look at the people that he talked about. He talks about people who were adulterers, and people who were murderers, and people who stole. The one thing he didn't talk about was the God commandments. The first, I guess actually there's four, the first ones, is the God commandments, our relationship to God. He talks about our relationship to each other because that's what he's talking to Timothy about. He's talking about you're not getting along because you're not following God's standards, and it's not resulting in love. Then he realizes that he was kind of not so good in the beginning. And so he has a little of a side where he talks about the grace that God gave to him. He was appointed to ministry even though he had been opposing God. Of course, he thought he was following God. And I personally believe that's why God chose him. Because God knew what Paul was intent upon was doing what God wanted. And so Jesus himself came, knocked him off his horse on the Damascus Road and says, guess what, Paul? You're going in the wrong direction, bud. This is not what I want. And oh, by the way, this is Jesus and I'm God too, okay? And so once he figured this out, he started back the other way, following Jesus with just as much fervor as he had followed the false stuff that he thought was what God wanted. Now he knows what God wants because God told him. And so he's going back the other way. He was thankful for the grace of Christ that allowed even somebody like him in. And as I say, I personally think that he was beating himself up for a bad reason because I think God chose him specifically because he said, Paul wants to do what I want. He just doesn't know it. So I'm going to tell him and I want to see if he takes off with and goes up. And he did. And so that's why God thought that Paul should be the, and one of the biggest things was that, of course, he believed that Gentiles were fuel for the fire of hell. Now God has made him the apostle to the Gentiles. Jesus came specifically to provide salvation. And Paul felt like he was the best example you could get of this. Look at how bad I was, and Jesus forgave me. Guess what? You can come too. So then he starts talking to Timothy about how to run his church. He tells Timothy, it had been prophesied that you will be a defender of the faith. Now, once again, Timothy's this young guy. We're going to see as we go through that Timothy got a lot of crap about being young. But Paul says, don't worry about that. You actually are closer doctrinally to what Jesus wants than most of these people who are giving you a hard time. This means we need, no. He tells him to have faith and a good conscience. That's the two things he says you need to have. You need to have a good conscience to know that you were intent on doing what God wants and at least making an attempt at it. And you need to have faith that if you do what God wants, that it's all going to turn out right. He mentions two who are opposing God's doctrine and says they need to repent. Now, when Paul says, I'm turning them over to Satan, that's what he means. I'm casting them out because they're actually harming our fellowship. Jesus talked about this in the Gospels, about how to deal with people which you have a problem with. First, you go and talk to them and try to straighten it out. If that doesn't work, you bring other people to go with you. If that doesn't work, you go to the church and you say, this is what's happening. Can we have this? And they may say, no, we really can't. This is disturbing the peace, and we don't want that. So, and in Corinthians, he talks about casting somebody out who's committing obvious sin and won't turn from it. Well, in 2 Corinthians, he turns from it. And so now he tells them, take him back, now that he has gotten himself straight. And he got himself straight because they threw him out of the church. But once he got himself right, they took him back. Paul's object in these two people that he says he's turned over to Satan is restoration. He wants them to repent and come back and to be a part of the church in a peaceful way that will build up the church. So what does this all mean to us? Well, first of all, we need to be ready to defend proper doctrine. Now, this means we need to know what proper doctrine is, which is one of the things I spend a lot of time trying to teach you guys. And the reason is because I don't want somebody, and it's what Paul's doing here too, and does in all of his epistles, I don't want somebody coming in here and telling you a bunch of crap, and you're just going off away from the true gospel of Jesus Christ. I want you to be ready to defend yourself against these people. Actually, the best thing to do is just to say, thanks a lot, and just turn away. But if they keep at it, now I want to give you the ability to go back and say, well, what about this? And what about this? And I want you to always remember, if somebody tells you something, and you're looking at this and you're going, I don't know what to say about this. I don't know. This is something I'm not familiar with. Call me or email me or something. I began doing this, Pat will tell you, I began doing this before I was even 20 years old. My kid's sister was hanging out with people who were from other sects. And she'd come home in tears. Oh, I just learned this and I'm all screwed up like a soup sandwich. She didn't say soup sandwich. I got that in the military. But at any rate, I'd say, don't worry. What is the problem here? And she'd tell me. And I would take the Bible and I would sit down. And God at that point was trying to teach me how to help you. Because eventually, many years later, I would be in this situation. So I have come to know the Bible well enough that I at least know what area I need to get into if I need to find you information. God will give us grace to do this. When somebody comes along and forces us into defending proper doctrine, you will be amazed at what God puts into your mind. You may have nothing more than Pastor Walt said, and then they'll tell you, well, who's Pastor Walt? Say, let me call. My son Jeremiah used to do that. Let me call. My dad will straighten you out right now. Right? Sometimes we have to reject people who do not have good doctrine. If we take the Bible and we show them the truth and they reject it. One of the things I read the other day, I won't tell you what it was about, but you probably know because you've been around me a while, is that there are certain faiths, shall we say, that people like because not because they teach them to fit into what God wants, but because their religion fits into what they want. Okay? there are faiths that'll give you a get out of jail free. That's why the mafia belongs to this one particular group, because they just go see somebody. You are not, no longer a sinner. I said so. Doesn't work like that. Sometimes we have to reject people who don't have good doctrine, but we have to tell them the good doctrine. We must, however, be prepared to restore them. When they come back and they say, I've seen the error of my ways, and I want to get back with a group of people who know what's up, we take them back. And if they turn out to be pulling a weasel deal, we throw them out again. But if they're not, if they're serious about this, we restore them. And we help them learn. I mean, many of you didn't know much about serious doctrines. And hopefully I've been able to teach you some of them. The number one thing you need to know is how to be saved. And when people ask me, how do I lead somebody to Jesus? My response is always the same. How'd you get saved? Well, I asked Jesus into my heart. Okay? Guess what? Works for everybody. You just have to say, I'm a sinner. I want to be forgiven. I want to enter your kingdom. Come into my heart and lead me in the right ways. Simple. I've had people who I took to church with me when I was in the military, and they would turn to me and they'd say, is that all there is to it? Yeah, that's all there is to it. But you have to be serious. If you mean it, then he will come into your heart. He'll give you a hunger for the scriptures, and you'll learn. But it takes a while. I've been at this for 20-odd years, right? Now I've been at it for 50-odd years. Oh, well. Anyway, we must be prepared to restore people when they want to be restored. Sometimes you have to take in people, as I did at one point in the military, who you don't like, because they want to turn from their wicked ways. Pray and come close to God. And if you do, it's the greatest experience you can ever have. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you that we've been here tonight. We'd ask you to bless us. Go with us. Help us to learn good doctrine and to teach it to other people. Help us to be ready to defend our doctrine. Particularly, help us to embed in our heart how one is saved and becomes right with God. And help us to tell everybody we come in contact with. In Jesus' name, amen. Thanks for being here, guys.
Thank you.